In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's 8 o'clock on the school night, and a parent says to a child, "It's time for bed. Get upstairs and get ready for bed." The child replies, "Why do I have to go to bed now? I don't want to. I want to stay up. Why do I have to go to bed now?" The parent replies, pulling out the parental authority trump card, "Because I said so." Done and over with. Well, that may be true that the parent can pull out the authority trump card, but I suspect behind the parent's insistence that the child go to bed at 8 o'clock is an underlying rationale. If the child does not get 8 to 10 hours of rest, the child is going to be rather crabby in the morning. One needs one's sleep. Well, I suspect very often we might look at the Ten Commandments in some ways as arbitrary and capricious. Why do we have to keep them? Why all these rules and regulations? Because God said so. And that is true, but that doesn't mean it is without a larger context or without an underlying rationale. Let's consider a couple observations about the Ten Commandments first and foremost. First of all, note how the first commandment runs through all of the commandments. We should fear and love God. Every commandment begins with those words. Well, what this means is that each commandment then brings us face to face with God. The commandments are not 10 impersonal abstract regulations. They are not impersonal codes of conduct. They set forth a relationship between God and us. Before you break every commandment, one has to first break the first commandment in a certain sense. In other words, in dealing with each commandment, we are brought face to face with God. Similarly, we might then think of commandments 2 through 10 as simply 9 commentaries on the first commandment. Or you might say, they are 9 different ways by which we live out our life with God in different contexts and different settings. So in that regard, in that sense, whenever you start wondering, well, what's the meaning of the 7th commandment? The answer is rather simple. We should fear and love God. What's the meaning of the 10th commandment? Well, we should fear and love God. What's the meaning of the 3rd commandment? We should fear and love God. Every commandment brings us face to face with God. And so we fear and love God in every commandment. Secondly, the commandments deal with our neighbor. More specifically, they deal with the life of our neighbor and what our neighbor needs to support his or her life and family in the community and life on earth. Consider what they deal with. They consider with family, they deal with family and they deal with spouse and property and name. These are important for the life of our neighbor. And so Luther regards the commandments as 10 as protective fences around the life of our neighbor, protective fences around those things and people that are necessary and contribute to the well-being of our neighbor's life. So what's going on here in the Ten Commandments with these 2 points? In other words, fear and loving God and looking after the life of our neighbor. Well, what we see going on here is the Creator at work within his creation, working for the well-being of his creation and his human creatures. He is protecting and preserving the life he has given. In a sense, then, the commandments are setting forth a life that's well-lived as God envisioned it when he created it in the first place. As creatures, we're accountable to the Creator. As creatures dependent upon the Creator's gifts, we are accountable for the use of those gifts. So the Creator establishes protective fences around those gifts to preserve that life, because his human creatures are capable of destroying it. On the other hand, we love and trust in him. Why? Because the Creator is lavishly, with every blessing and goodness bestowed upon all that we need for life with him and life with each other. And so these carry over into our life with our neighbor. On the one hand, avoid harming our neighbor at a minimum, But note that in the Catechism, it goes beyond that. We love and trust in him in order to gladly do all that God asks of us. And we not only avoid harming our neighbor's life, but we help and befriend in every time of need. So here we're dealing with the Creator, and we're dealing with the Creator's, if you will, vision for his creation, for human life within his creation. So we've been talking about the Creator. But who is this Creator? What is his identity? Here's where it gets really interesting in the Catechism, at least for me. But then I find pretty much everything in the Catechism rather interesting. Particularly for Martin Luther, where it gets interesting is, who is the Creator? Well, in Exodus 20, it says, I am the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt. So who's the Creator? He's the one who led you out of Egypt, the Redeemer. But we don't find that in the Catechism, because what Martin Luther suggests is, he says, well, God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, but he did not deliver us Germans out of Egypt. And so that part doesn't necessarily apply, he said, to us Germans, in the 16th century at least. But now what he does with that, he says, who led you out of Egypt identified for the Israelites who their creator was. So he suggests it's sort of like when Moses is giving a sermon on the plains of Moab before the people of Israel are getting ready to enter the land of Canaan. He addresses the people and says, now when you enter the land of Canaan, your eyes are going to be dazzled by the glitz and glitter of the Canaanite gods. But whenever you're tempted to follow one of those gods, ask yourself this question. Did that God deliver you out of Egypt? If the answer is no, avoid it. That ain't your God. And then what he does is he moves to Jeremiah 31 and says, points out the passage that says, the days are coming when you will no longer say the God who led us out of Egypt, but the God who gathered us out of the four corners of the earth. That day has arrived with Jesus Christ. And so now you might say, for Christians, whenever you're tempted in the land of America and your eyes are dazzled by the glitz and glitter of the American gods, ask yourself this question. Did those gods suffer and die for you? In other words, the who led you out of Egypt now becomes, for Christians, suffered, crucified, dead, and buried. In other words, who is the Creator? The one who suffered and died for you and for me. Who is the Creator? The one who suffered and died in order to reclaim you and me, restore you and me, renew you and me. Who is the Creator who set up this life and this vision for life with him and with each other within creation? He's the one who suffered and died in order to bring to fruition all that he intended for you and for me within his creation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.